Defensores Libertatis Ecclesiae, Protectors of the Church's Freedom. And my mom, that was in the kitchen making gnocchi, I will never forget, comes out of the kitchen with flour all over her apron, and she says, "A bodyguard? Of whom?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Rome, and I'm going to become the bodyguard of the Pope." And my mom said, "Really? What's his name?" I had no idea what was his name. The first time I met him, I was about 3 weeks in the service. I've seen him walking around, but now I was alone in a room, and I was notified that he was coming into the room in the Apostolic Palace where I was. All of a sudden, he arrives. I go into the attention. He stops in front of me. He was by himself. He looks at me and he says, "You must be a new one." And when he said that, for me, was a message that I can talk. As a soldier, you don't talk unless somebody talks to you first. So I came out of my attention, I took my white gloves off, and I went straight with my right hand to shake his hand. And he grabbed my hand, and I probably spoke for 6 seconds, saying my name, where I was coming, how proud, I don't even remember. And when I was done, I tried to take my hand back, and he didn't let go. And I felt, okay, this is awkward. What's going on? So I stayed still with my hand in his hand. And then he picked up his left hand and he sandwiched my hand in between his hands. And looking me in the eye, he said, "Well, Mario, thank you for coming to serve who serves." And then he let go of my hand and he walked away. Well, that's the day that I realized that whatever that man had, I wanted it. I had no idea what he was, but something tricked me. In order for me to understand who he was, I started paying attention to every word he said. I started reading things that I wasn't participating, but audiences, talks, and things like that. I started reading because I knew that whatever he had, I wanted it. As a soldier, I made myself a code of conduct. Every single time that I need guidance, I go to our Lord, I go to Our Lady, and I go to Saint Pope John Paul II. To be a Swiss Guard is an honor, is sacrificial. You work 100 hours a week out of the 168 that there are in a week, which means you only have 68 hours to sleep and try to have some fun. Most of the time you can because you are exhausted. But His Holiness gets to know the guards one by one and establish a good relationship with them. One day I was in the third floor of the Apostolic Palace. I was tired. I was hot. It was July. I hear him arriving, and I only hear one set of steps, which means he's by himself. And I go up in attention, and I am hoping that he will stop and interact with me, even if for just 10 seconds, "Ciao Mario, come stai?" And instead, he just walked past me, and he didn't even look at me. He didn't even stop, absolutely nothing. So I remain in attention and I close my eyes. And when I reopened my eyes, maybe a second and a half later, he was right in front of me. And I did not hear him walking back, but he was just in front of me. And I'm almost 6'2", and His Holiness was, I would say, 5'10". And so now there I am in attention with His Holiness staring at me with his blue eyes, of an intensity of a blue that I have not seen in any other human being yet. And I am in attention and he's not talking. Maybe 10 seconds go by, and that's an eternity for a soldier with somebody looking at you without talking. And then I noticed with the corner of my eye that he was putting his hand into the pocket of his cassock. And all of a sudden, I was stealing attention. He comes out and he puts this rosary in front of me. And he stands there and I'm in attention. And all of a sudden, in Italiano, but I'll say it in English, he says to me, "Mario, the rosary is my favorite prayer. Marvelous in its simplicity and profundity. Take my beads." And when he said that, I came off of attention and I put my hand like this, and he put these beads in my hand. And then he continued, "And make them your most powerful weapon." He then took 3 steps away from me, and I stood there like this. And then he turned around and he said, "Welcome to adulthood. Always and continuously call on Mary, because she will turn you from timid into daring. She will always show you the way to her son." And he walked away. Since that day, I carry a rosary, not this obviously, but others, in my pocket. And I always tell every man that I met, or I meet, or I interact, to carry a rosary in their pocket. Because this is an authentic sign of masculinity. Every man should carry this rosary. And a couple of weeks later, I was in the Apostolic Palace with my rosary in my hand, and the Only Father passed by and he saw me with his rosary, and he smiled and he winked to me with his left eye. Now you can see how tremendously proud and honored I am of having spent so much time in his presence, and having witnessed his love for the Eucharist. Like that time, there was a mass in St. Peter, right next to the Pietà, the famous Pietà of Michelangelo, there is a little room. At the end of mass, 30 minutes, I thought, oh, His Holiness had already left. I went to that room and I opened the door, because I had done that in the past. And when I opened the door, he was still in there, and he was sitting in a chair, and he was holding a crucifix about maybe a foot long, and he was holding him and looking at him like a mom looks at his baby. And when I saw that, I closed the door and I walked away, and I stopped to other gentlemen of the San Pietrini that they were gonna go in to clean, to say, "His Holiness is still in there." And that picture, I revisit and re-saw that picture every single time I saw my wonderful wife holding my kids. Every time I will see Julie holding my children, my mind will go back to see St. Pope John Paul II holding the cross, holding Christ, and looking at him. I know John Paul II was a saint already when he was on earth. He was a saint, he was a living saint, and I witness his sanctitude on a daily basis. He was courageous, he was a leader, he was a man of prayer. I witness him walking in the garden and all of a sudden falling on his knees in silence and contemplation. I saw miracle being performed. There was a young girl, mute and deaf, that came to the general audience on a Wednesday. The girl had a little drawing in her hands, and she gave it to me, and she mumbled something, and I don't understand what she's trying to say, and her mom says to me, "She wants you to give this to His Holiness." Okay. So I folded it, and it was a typical drawing that we all did. While I was eating lunch, my colleagues that instead stayed for the entire audience, when they came back and they sat at my table, they were discussing a situation that happened, which caused the guards to go into an alarm stage. Well, the guards told me that on his way down, you know, he had already done this up, and on his way down, all of a sudden, he stopped and he walked back like 15 feet, which for the guards was panic because they had already moved forward, so they had to go around and one ran this way. And the reason why he moved back, he went and he blessed a little girl that was barely above the barricades. He blessed a little girl's mouth and ears. That little girl was the girl that gave me the drawing. The name of that little girl was Rachele, Rachel. And after he blessed her mouth and ears, she started talking and hearing. He was drawn back to that girl, and he knew exactly what to do, and he did it. So that's why I know that he was a saint, because the only spirit was already performing miracles through him while he was on earth. I was definitely not a phlegmatic, melancholic kind of Swiss guard, more of a choleric, sanguine kind of Swiss guard. And, you know, sometime I will break curfew, and as a consequence, I will have to go and do hours in the soup kitchen. There were pots all over. They had old pots, and they were all black. And the sister that was there, she gave me a little sponge, you know, an iron sponge, and she said, "You gotta make them shine." And okay, I said, "Okay, all right." So I got serious about it and I started, but they were not coming shine. The black wasn't coming out of these stainless steels. And at a certain point, I noticed that next to me, there was a nun. Well, the missionary of charity, they all look alike, so I didn't really recognize who she was. And so I basically threw a temper tantrum, and I threw the pot into the triple sink. Water came out, got my pants and my shoes all wet, and not a very nice word came out of my mouth. After I said that word, I remembered about the nun. And I turned, and she looked at me. I immediately recognized that was Mother Teresa. And she says, "Whoa, you sure sound like a sissy." A rabbit, you know, as the Sahari that comes in the front. And she moved the stole that comes down, and she had a pin with a miraculous medal. And she took that miraculous medal and she held it in her fingers. I grabbed it. Then she left and I put it into my pocket. And then I left and I went on with the life and I lost that medal. Few months later, I'm in the Apostolic Palace and I see on a note that His Holiness is going to meet with Mother. When they finished the audience, they all came out, and I was trying to look for Mother. Finally, I saw her, and by the time that I started walking to her, she actually anticipated me, and she started coming to me. She had a plastic bag in her hand. She put the plastic bag on the floor, so I started looking what she was doing. She moved the stole of her habit, and she started taking a miraculous medal off that pin that she had. And then she put the miraculous medal, this one, in front of me. I put my hand out. She puts the miraculous medal in my hand And she says to me in Italiano, and I'll tell you in English, this time, don't lose it. And she walked away. It blew my mind. How did she know that I lost the medal that she gave me 6 months before? How did she remember me? Few weeks later, I had a chance to encounter, interact with her at the soup kitchen. And I asked her, Mother, why do you give away all the time those medals? And she said, 19 verse of the 28 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. Go make disciples. That's why Mother gave me and many others the miraculous medal, so that we can go and make disciples. We can go and spread the truth. We can remember how we can fulfill our baptismal commitments. And let us conclude with an Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. St. Pope John Paul II, pray for us. St. Mother Teresa, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mario, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
God bless you.
That was wonderful.